The following presentation is brought to you from the supporters of the Church of the Sovereign God.
We're all aware that as believers, Jesus Christ has commanded us that we are to partake of the annual Passover. It is to be a memorial of his work on our behalf. Now, that's not necessarily something that we typically state, or at least not necessarily stated in that way, but that's a phrase that I would want us to have in mind. And brethren, we should also all know there is great significance about the Passover in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is where Paul is describing discerning the Lord's body. I have entitled this sermon today, Discerning Jesus' Body, Part 1. I can already tell you there's going to be a second part to this. So with this in mind, if you would, please go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Let's get right into it, 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to begin reading in verse 23. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body," pay attention to this next phrase, "which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." I believe the main focus, the main point, however you would want to say that, of this entire passage here in 1 Corinthians 11, verses around 17 through 34, is that those who partake of these Passover symbols, the bread and the wine, should be discerning the Lord's body. Now, in the Greek, the word discerning means a thorough judgment. And now what that is referring to is a discernment or a conclusion that distinguishes between lookalikes and that which is not real. In other words, the things that appear to be the same. It is a distinguishing between what is real and what only looks to be real. So Paul, in these verses 23 and 24, are telling us how we are to discern the Lord's body, and that is how we can tell the real from a lookalike. Verse 26, "For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes." So we see here that the eating and drinking of these symbols reminds us every Passover of Jesus' death. We are to remember not only that he died, but we are also to remember and to think about discerning what manner of death he suffered. Because remember, already stated, he did this on our behalf. Perhaps even more importantly, we are, and I'm using this word with intent, we are forced to remember why his sacrifice was necessary. Verse 27, "Wherefore," or "therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now, in this verse, we see it is even possible to eat the Passover, to partake of the bread and the wine unworthily. The Greek word used here for unworthily is used and means in an unworthily manner. What that is saying is disrespectfully. There are several words that we can use, but I focus on this particular one. It would be eating and drinking of the bread and drinking of the wine in a disrespectful way. Now, how do you disrespect the eating and the drinking? Not discerning the Lord's body. It's through not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, not really paying attention. And you're going through the motion, you're doing these things, but it's not really something that we have thought about, something that we have really focused on in our personal lives. So the sense of this word unworthily here is treating the symbols, meaning the bread and the cup or the wine, as common things. Therefore, not capturing the seriousness or the solemnness of these symbolic symbols or the importance of it. It's not really seeing the real significance and the importance of it. Of it, meaning the bread and the wine. We're doing it because we're supposed to do it. And we are supposed to do it. But we are supposed to be doing this with knowing, with knowledge, with an understanding. Therefore, when we do eat and drink the Passover symbols unworthily or in a disrespectful manner, we are taking upon ourselves the guilt of Jesus' death. In other words, our attitude, the attitude, the approach that we would have toward our eating and drinking of these symbols would put down or belittle or humiliate or degrade his sacrifice. And his sacrifice, therefore, in effect, it is as though he died in vain. Now, we step back and we look at this and we talk about this. We obviously know Jesus did not die in vain. However, what Paul is clearly, I think, showing us here through these verses, if we are not consciously aware of what we are doing and have not thought this through and have really thought about it, internalized it, prayed about it, perhaps and probably fast about this before the Passover, we're showing a disrespect to the sacrifice that Jesus went through, and as a result, he died in vain. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And so I think that we should see and understand that self-examination of how we are living our lives, as well as the attitude that we have toward the taking of the Passover, both are of extreme importance. I have here 3 points for us to consider. They're real quick. Number one, discerning the Lord's body. Number two is what he suffered. And number three is why he suffered. Now, I'm going to tell you probably in part two, I do plan to come back to later and talk more about this topic of self-examination. So, once we come to realize these three things, these 3 points, the real significance of taking the Passover becomes very real and very personal to us on a personal level, on a me level. We talk all the time, we talk so many times in various sermons and teachings and all that, how we are to focus on us. This is one where we focus on me. This is about me. It's not so much what our wife or our husband or our children or our parents or the sitting next to us or whoever it is, why they're doing it, what are they thinking, what are they going through, because we would assume they're going through the same thing we are. But we make this very, very personal. It also, at that point, becomes critical for us to realize that we need to participate in it. We need to take part in it. It's more even on the point of view of it's required that we do it. Jesus commanded it, but I have to do this. It is even that important for us to come to that kind of a realization. Verse 29. For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I told you, this is the key to this whole passage here. Continue on in verse 30. For this cause, for what cause? Because some have not discerned the Lord's body. They have taken the Passover, they've eaten the bread, they've drunk the wine, but they've done it in a disrespectful way because they haven't really focused on beforehand what this is really all about. Not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, as a result of this, that some have done that, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, or many have died. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, that's why this word that we just read over here in verse 29, but he who drinks, eats and drinks unworthily, drinks damnation or judgment to himself. That's what that is, why that's a better word for there. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened or corrected of the Lord. And I'm going to read in the word, so that we should not be condemned with the word, with the world. The reason that he would chasten us here or correct us through this is because he doesn't want us to be condemned with the world. Why is the world going to be condemned? Because they're not doing this. Now, I understand we could say, yes, but they haven't been called. That's really immaterial. Do you think people who don't know that the Sabbath is the Sabbath and not keep it because they've not been called, they're going to get a pass on that? No, they're guilty. They're guilty. And this is what this is telling us. This is why this is important. We need to understand this. This is why this is to be personal. We have been called out. We have been selected. We have been shown. We have been given this knowledge and given the understanding. And God makes wisdom of knowing what to do with this so available to us that we don't have to do this unworthily. Because we're judging ourselves. We're looking at me. I'm not judging someone else. You're not judging someone else. You're judging yourself. I'm judging myself. So what we begin to see and realize is that the result of taking the Passover unworthily is that we come under judgment, where we will not be cleared of our transgressions. That may seem hard, but this is what this is saying. If we're going to do the Passover, yes, we're commanded to do it, and we're going to do this, but we haven't really thought all of this through. We're not really have this forefront of our thinking and with the realization, with an openness of mind and doing it with the right intent. Then we come under judgment, and our sins are not cleansed. Therefore, our lives will not be protected. Even as the Egyptians were not protected from the death angel during the 10th plague. That is the Passover, the death of the firstborn. We think this is just okay. We just do this every year. This is just, we can do this by rote. No, we can't. Well, yeah, we can. But Paul is showing us, no, we can't. No, we can't. And the lack of real self-examination has brought upon many people, this is what we're seeing, a great amount of bodily suffering and untimely death. Many are sick and weak, and many have died, and some have died. Brethren, I find it very uplifting. And it could be even something that saves our lives for us to study what discerning the Lord's body has to do with self-examination, with sickness, with early death, with healing, and with our ultimate reward in God's kingdom. I want to move on to another thing that Paul is talking about here in 1 Corinthians 11. Let's consider the breaking of the bread. The breaking of the unleavened bread during the Passover service gives us an additional and extremely important principle. What I mean is, since it is part of the annual ceremony, we need to be reminded of that at least once a year, that the true bread from heaven, i.e. Jesus Christ, that we must eat in order to live, and also that it is broken for us. That's what we read. It's in verse 24. We read that. So here we need to ask, how was Jesus' body broken? How was it broken? Please go with me to John chapter 19. John chapter 19. John 19, we're going to read verses 31 and 32. John 19, verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day. In other words, it's not the preparation for the weekly Sabbath, it's the preparation for the annual Sabbath, that is the first day of unleavened bread. They besought Pilate that their legs, those three men who were, at least three men, who were crucified, or who one, of course, was Jesus Christ, and that they might take them away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. However, when they saw Jesus was already dead, they pierced his side, spilling the blood onto the ground. Verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they broke not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. Now I want you to hold your place here in John, and I want you to go with me to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, that they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. You think this is talking about Jesus? Of course this is talking about Jesus. We are also told in Scripture that not one of his bones, not one of the bones of Jesus' body was to be broken. John 19, go back there. John 19. This is verse 35 we begin. And he that saw it bear record. In other words, John is saying, I'm an eyewitness. I saw this. I know what happened. I'm recording it, so I know that the story is true. And he bear witness, and his record is true. And he knows that he speaks or says truth, that you might believe it. Now, I'm kind of reading other words, but that's what he's saying. Verse 36, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. What scripture should be fulfilled? That a bone of him shall not be broken. He's referring back to Exodus 12 and verse 46. I'm not going there, but it's referring to the Passover lamb. How it describes what's to happen to it, and it says, and not one of the bones is to be broken. Now we understand that Passover lamb in the Old Testament in Exodus 12 is symbolic, looking forward to as a shadow of what's going to happen to Jesus Christ. And so this is a prophecy. Even though it was a real thing then, they did it really. They really did it, and they ate that Passover lamb, but not one of the bones were to be broken. That was all symbolic of what was to happen, or in this case, not happen to Jesus' body. Verse 37, and again another scripture says, and this other scripture is in Psalm 34 in verse 20. They shall look on him whom they pierced. Now, we also read that in Zechariah 12, verse 10. So I think that we are beginning to see that Jesus' body was broken. However, it was not by the breaking of his bones, but by the breaking of his skin. Besides the spear piercing his side and the metal spikes that nailed his wrist and his feet to the cross, Jesus was subjected to an incredible and painful and severe beating. That's putting what he went through very mild, very simple. This beating was prophesied in Isaiah 52. And it shows that it made him basically unrecognizable. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. I'm going to read this in the New International Version. Isaiah 52, 14. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. To put it about as mild or as strong, however you want to word it, that we can, he did not look like a human. His facial features, his form, his body did not look like that of a human being. His physical body had a great number, multitude of welts, skin lacerations, and open wounds that, as a result of that, it spilled his blood all over his body and upon the ground. Now, after services last Sabbath, we were talking to some about what we do after the Passover with the unleavened bread that is broken and part of the Passover service but is not consumed, and what we do with the wine that is not consumed. And what I said was we pour the excess of wine out on the ground after the Passover, and this is why. It is symbolic. I think it just simply further reminds us, those who take part in the doing of that. Now, go with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 22 and verse 17. I'm going to read this to you in three different translations. Psalm 22, verse 17. From the King James Version, it says, I may tell all my bones, they look and stare on me. The New International Version, I'm just going to read the first part. All my bones are on display. And then the Orthodox Jewish Bible says, I can count all my bones. We go back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, and in verse 5, just looking at that one verse, it expounds upon even more so the scourging, the beating that Jesus went through. Verse 5. Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes you were healed. Now, the Hebrew word that is used here for stripe is referring to a stroke or a blow. Now, that's what it actually means. And it is something that would have been put upon, to use it in regards to another human, it would have been put upon that person by a metal rod or by a whip or a lash. In other words, something like the British use later, what they called a cat of nine tails. Now, I'm not going into details here. But brethren, what I do want us to understand, just from these very simple verses that we have read, this is how our Lord's body was broken. And yes, we need to be ashamed, embarrassed, or whatever term that you might feel better or worse to use, that we receive benefit from his beating, from his suffering, from his stripes, especially when we realize that in God's eyes, we broke his body. Then on the other hand, we also see, because we already read it, that in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, that the stripes he received, through that we receive healing. And so we're ashamed that he had to go through this for me. And then on the other hand, I'm excited about the fact that he went through this for me. Again, I said, you take Passover as personal. So we ask, how is it possible? How is it possible? Brethren, as we are eating that small broken piece of unleavened bread at Passover, I think there are several questions that we need to be asking ourselves. Of course, I think we need to be asking these questions before we get to the Passover. And then whenever the tray is passed around after the unleavened bread has already been prayed over, and then it's broken, and then it's passed out, and as you receive that piece of broken unleavened bread, then I think there are some questions that we need to be asking. And I have just a few here. One is, have I been healed by his stripes? Another one is, am I in the process of being healed by them? And then another question is, do I really believe this promise? Because you see, brethren, I also believe that if we cannot answer these questions with an absolute yes, there may be a problem. There may be a problem. We may not be, I'm not saying it would be, I'm saying it may not be that we are discerning the Lord's body correctly. So let me give you some bullets here. What it means in discerning the Lord's body. The first bullet is recognizing our personal guilt for Jesus' suffering. He suffered because of what I have done. The second one is admitting our transgression of violating God's law. This is bullets to discerning the Lord's body, what it means. And it means go and sin no more, as we're told by Jesus in John 8 and verse 11. Otherwise, we would be crucifying again for ourselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Now, go with me to Hebrews 6 and verse 6. And I know that you can challenge that I'm using this maybe out of context. I don't think so. Hebrews 6 and verse 6. If they shall fall away. Now, you're already going, oh, this is talking about believers who have fallen away from the truth and they're no longer living the way they're supposed to be living. Yeah, that's what this is saying. The principle is a warning to us. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, I think in principle, that's what we would be doing if we're not doing these things, if we're not really truly discerning the Lord's body. I want to kind of move on to another point that we find over there as well. And it's the point of admitting or acknowledging our sin. I want to look at that just a little bit further. I want you to go with me to Luke 23. Luke chapter 23. And I'll tell you up front, we're going to read verses 39 through 43. Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, railed on him, the him is Jesus, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. In other words, we're receiving what we have earned. We earned this, cause and effect. We did evil deeds. This is what he's saying. But this man has done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. And then this still the second man that did the speaking said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shall you be with me in paradise. We know I'm not going through all of that, but the comma is in the wrong place. It should be after the word today. That's not a big point that I'm focusing on. But this word, malefactors, literally means evildoers. That's what the word means. It means those who commit an offense against the law. So Luke is telling us, labeling who they were, these malefactors, these evildoers, those that had broken the law. The point that I'm showing here is we need to judge ourselves like this repentant evildoer did. In other words, just as he had done, we also need to admit our past sinful deeds. So we see he acknowledged his evils not only by his words, but also by his accepting the punishment that he had brought upon himself by doing whatever evil it is that he had done. So he admits it, but he also accepts the punishment. So, here's the point. So let's understand, discerning Jesus' body must include serious acknowledgement of our sins that made his sacrifice a necessity. Why did he have to die? Because I sinned. His body was broken because of what we did and because of our lifestyles. Something that we chose to do. In other words, we can't blame somebody else for the sins and the evils that we have done. It falls upon me for mine and it falls upon you for yours. Then after this evildoer had admitted his own guilt and admitted that he would accept the justifiable punishment, he then acknowledged Jesus' innocent suffering. He said, but this is a just man. He hasn't done anything wrong. So we look to Jesus for salvation. Now that's an interesting way. That's an interesting point. We don't typically, I don't think about what this man did on the cross in that way. We get hung up on, no, the comma's in the wrong place, and it's not, he's not going into the kingdom that day, and da-da-da. I mean, how many sermonettes? And I'm not saying that it's not a good topic to cover in a sermonette. It is. But that's really not what this is about. This is about showing us an example of real repentance. I want to ask you a question. Does this remind you? It does me. It reminds me of the publican over in Luke 18 in verse 13 who said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's that same kind of attitude that I see there. So back to our evildoer. We notice that he did not ask Jesus to take him off the cross. We noticed that he did not ask him to spare him of this justified punishment. The first guy said, if you be Christ, then save yourself, then save us. What is he asking him? Get out off of the cross, get us off of the cross, and undo what we've done wrong. This guy doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. No, he accepted it as being just and fair and expressed repentance and faith in the Savior as well as faith in the message of a future resurrection to life. That's what he did. When you look at this, this is a full sermon in itself. And we don't have to get hung up on the commas in the wrong place. So what we also see here is this man judged himself. Remember, we were told, judge yourself, that you don't have to be judged. This man judged himself as being guilty. And he humbly approached the Son of God for what? For mercy. He didn't say, take me down off the cross, forgive me now. He said, remember me then. I understand that there's some who may want to call this a deathbed repentance. I understand that. But the point is, nevertheless, this is an incredible biblical example of a real repentance. It goes through steps of repentance. And like I said, I don't think this is something we typically focus on. Okay. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians 11 again. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. I've already said dead. Notice this says many of Jesus' followers have suffered and died because they failed to discern Jesus' body. That's what it says. Or at least someone or someones have not discerned Jesus' body. Now, I know there's the case that it could be not even necessarily the person who was sick or weak or dead. It could be others within the body. Now, that's a totally another topic, but I want to at least make that statement, that I understand that that could be the case. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. I know we read this earlier, but I want to see it again. That we should not be condemned with the world. These verses are describing to me what I would consider a much better way to salvation. And that is, if we would judge ourselves, therefore, we would not need to be judged. Because you see, brethren, if we would judge ourselves, we would come to repentance much, much quicker than God having to do it. Is God willing to judge us so that we come to repent? Oh, absolutely. Why? Because he wants us to repent. He wants us to come to the place that we go and sin no more. And the quicker we can get there, the better we all off are all off. And Jesus and God the Father, that's what they would want. But if we're not going quickly, he's going to get us there. That's what he's telling us. So, if we would discern or judge ourselves, and the thing that we need to judge and discern about ourselves is that we are the cause of Jesus' suffering. We are the cause. I am the cause of why Jesus suffered. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 11, this whole passage that I'm talking about, I didn't read all the verses, but this is a warning to us. The us meaning believers. It's a warning to us now. We can see that we do not have to follow the example of many believers who were sickly and infirmed and died prematurely as the result of not discerning Jesus' body. We can see that. We can see that we don't have to be among them. No, we can judge our own behavior before we find ourselves on our deathbed. If we fail to examine ourselves, then chances are, I believe, good, or the probability is high, however you would best state that, that we will not discipline our own human desires and our own human drives, meaning that we will not overcome our sinful ways. This, brethren, this is not discerning the Lord's body. In fact, it would be treating the incredible, awesome sacrifice of our Savior unworthily for us to continue in our evils. Now, that's what we have to conclude. That's what we have to come to. So with this in mind, I'd like for us to end part one of discerning Jesus' body here. The Aaronic blessing. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you, brethren. God bless each one, all of us, as we look forward to looking at ourselves, judging ourselves, discerning the Lord's body. Happy Sabbath to you all, brethren. Happy Sabbath.
For more information or answers to your Bible questions, please contact the Church of the Sovereign God. Our website is www.cotsg.org. That's www.cotsg.org. Or you may write to us at Post Office Box 89111. That's Post Office Box 89111, Tampa, Florida 33689.